was the 10th, and now it's time for the test of second negative constructive. Come around. Please observe now that there will be two negative speeches in a row. The affirmative begins the debate and ends the debate, and there will now be two affirmative speeches, negative speeches, excuse me, in a row. Now, if Natasha is going to speak and Lars is going to speak, let's think about the issues they have. They have arguments against the affirmative case, they have the disadvantage that Lars offered, and they have the topicality argument that Lars offered. Now, generally, what happens is that the negative speakers will engage in what we call division of labor. In other words, Lars will take some of the arguments, Bill will take the rest of the arguments, instead of you just repeating each other. Like if you give a speech and say, their case is wrong, there's a disadvantage, it's not topical, and then Lars stands up and says the same thing, it's not very productive, right? So you need to have division of labor. Novices have a hard time with this, but not our novices because we train them properly. So before you stood up, Natasha, you and Lars would divide up things. And Lars would go, okay, I'll deal with these arguments, and you deal with these arguments, and so that's what will happen. So in this speech, what will happen is, Natasha will pick some of the negative arguments and spend a lot of time developing them, dealing with the affirmative's answers, and try to persuade the judge about why the negative arguments that you're dealing with are so good. Okay? Now she's done. That speech is 8 or 9 minutes long, depending on the tournament. And so now it's time for cross-examination. Now, who's going to speak next on this team? The first speaker, which would be you. So we know the cross-ex is why the person who's not speaking next. So, very quickly, she would come up, she would ask any questions. This actually gives really fascinating and detailed answers. And they're exploring these issues so effectively. And then their 3 minutes are up and they sit down.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What happens when you're in mid-speech and the rebuttals, or the cross-examination, excuse me, and the 3 minutes comes, the dead, like,
really? Boom. Right. When the time is up, you must stop. Joanne will not listen as soon as the time repeats. She will stop listening to you, and the more you keep talking, the more she's likely to not like it. Right? You need to complete the sentence you're on and sit down.
So you can complete your sentence?
I think you can complete your sentence, but it should be a short one. You wouldn't want to go, so we can prove the death with the negative. You go, the negative has won this debate. You know, 5 seconds or so are fine, but don't drag it on. Don't start a new sentence.
Yeah.
Okay? So now we have the first negative rebuttal. Lars stands up and gives his rebuttal. Here's the big difference between the rebuttal speeches and the constructive speeches. In the constructive speeches, you can build issues and create issues in the debate. But the rule is you cannot introduce new issues in rebuttals. You cannot introduce new issues in rebuttals. Here's how that will affect you, novices. You'll be at a debate time and go, when we debated this case, and you know, I didn't figure out what was wrong with it until rebuttals, and by then it was too late. But at least I figured it out. And that's absolutely true. You need to sort of get a handle on what's wrong with the affirmative in constructives, not in rebuttals. For example, in the last negative rebuttal, Natasha can't go, wait, I just thought of this great idea. It will cost too much money. Right? Or in the last affirmative rebuttal, oh, wait, I just thought our plan will reduce the risk of nuclear war. Right? You don't get credit for reducing those led debates. So, what Lars is going to do is, he's giving a speech, he's picked some of the negative issues, he's not covering the same ground that Natasha covered, and he speaks for his complete time, and he delivers a devastating attack on the affirmative, and then he succeeds. Now it's time for the first affirmative rebuttal. The first affirmative rebuttal probably takes a few minutes of preparation time. Now remember, the negative just spoke twice, didn't it? Now, the affirmative has to answer in their rebuttal all of that stuff that the negative just said. And so, he's taking some prep time, he's cooperating with his partner, she gave him some dynamite ideas for what to do, he thought of some on his own, and he stands up. Basically, his job is to cover all the major issues in the debate, to deal with all the major issues in the day, and at the end of it to say that our case, you know, has advantages, it's important, and those advantages outweigh the disadvantages or the problems with our case. Nobody thinks that any team has perfect arguments. Our arguments are perfect. All of their arguments are trash. That's not what happens. Each team has some good arguments and some bad arguments. What you need to do is to persuade the judge that you have more good arguments than they do, and that your good arguments are better than their good arguments. But the important thing that the first affirmative rebuttal needs to do is to not drop anything. If he never talks about the affirmative case, and Natasha and Lars have a fiery attack on the affirmative case in their two speeches, the affirmative is in deep trouble. But his time allocation and his word economy is so good that he's able to cover all these issues eloquently in the time allotted for him, very satisfied with his performance. He nods at his partner. By the way, you always show confidence towards your partner. If your partner screws up, you don't go, oh. Like that. After your partner's speech, you should high-five your partner, especially after your partner's 1 hour. That's up. So you sit down, you're happy, and you and your partner high-five each other. Go for it. Good job. A little more enthusiasm would be good, but this is only a simulation. Now it's time for the second negative rebuttal. But we're down to the last two speeches in the debate. Now in these speeches, it's a little different. What happens is you try to select what you think are the winning issues in the debate and convince the judge to vote for you on those issues. So you sort of have to boil things down a little to the most important stuff. Natasha will use all of her remaining preparation time. You always use all of your preparation time. She's got a lot of it left, so she sits there calmly thinking about what she's going to say. Lars is advising her on what he thinks good arguments are. He's helping her find a piece of evidence, which will be really critical in proving the points that the negative team's making. And so after all of her preparation time is up, she stands up and delivers her rebuttal speech. She talks about the important issues, why she thinks the negative team is winning those issues, and very importantly, at the end of her speech, she balances things and says, here's why our arguments are more important than theirs. Well, this is why, Madam Judge, you should vote for the negative team in today's debate. Sure, they're going to feed some children, but they're also going to cause other harms which are much larger in the disadvantage that Lars originally offered. So on balance, you would vote negative. So she did that. She was very effective. And now she sits down, and she gets high-fived by her partner. Right. Now it's time for the second affirmative rebuttal. The second affirmative rebuttalist uses all the remaining prep time. She talks to her partner. She figures out what she's going to say. She's got a strategy. She's figured out how to spin this puppy. And so she's ready to go. Prep time runs out. She stands up. She smiles. She looks confident. Even though her opponent has done a fabulous job, she looks confident. And she delivers a speech. She reviews the major issues in the debate, especially the ones Natasha talked about, the ones Natasha is claiming mean you lose. You definitely need to talk about those. Then you talk about your affirmative case and how important it is, and then you weigh the issues and say the affirmative issues are more important than the negative, so you should vote for the affirmative in today's debate. Immediately after the debate is over, you don't have to, but by convention, you shake hands with your opponent. So you do a shake hands with them. Everybody shake hands. Don't be afraid. We're going to do this with a full simulation. And then you will sit down. Now it's Joanne's turn. Joanne is our judge. Joanne's just seen the debate. She's taking careful notes. She's listened carefully. She's tried to not interfere. You know, the judge doesn't say, hey, shut up. Argue food. You know, the judge tries to stay detached and objective. And Joanne looks at her notes. Maybe Joanne wants to look at the piece of evidence that they offered at some point to determine maybe there's a disagreement about what it really says. She might ask to see something. She makes her decision. She decides which team did a better job of debate. She takes out a ballot, which the tournament has given to her. She ranks the speakers 1, 2, 3, 4. She gives each of them quality points ranging from 0 to 30, with 30 being best. And then she decides which team wins based on the arguments in the debate, not based on who her friends are, not based on her ideological preferences. She's a devout anarchist, so she's very distrustful of any government, but she's not going to let that influence her decision, because she's going to try to be objective. Judges try to be objective. Do you think they always succeed? No. But they try. And it's really refreshing to find somewhere where people try to be objective. That's so refreshing and different from what we experience in most of life. We're objective, why bother? After Joanne's made a decision and filled out the ballot, based on her educational philosophy, she will decide to do a number of things. She will either stand up and say, thank you, that was a nice debate, and leave the room and not talk to you at all. Or she will talk to you about how you can become better debaters. Oh, Lars, I think you did this well, but you need to work on that, and the affirmative needs to watch out for this and do a little bit more on that. So she'll give you feedback about what will happen, but she will not reveal the decision. The third thing that happens, and this is what happens most often, is she will say, well, in this debate, I decided to vote for the blank team. Now, the reason I did that is because. And then she will explain why she has voted for one team or the other. And we won't say, we'll keep it. And when she explains, what do you think is happening? How does the winning team feel? Think they feel good?
Yeah.
Do you think, do they believe that she's right?
Yeah.
They do. How does the negative team feel? The losing team?
Lousy.
Right? Do they think she's right in her decision?
No.
Maybe. Maybe they should, because maybe they got creamed, right? Who knows? Right? But maybe, right? But the point is, whether you agree or not, her decision is final. Now, here is a good idea of what to do. Whether you win or lose, take notes on what the judge says. She likes this. She doesn't like that. She thought this issue was wonderful. She didn't like it when we said Saddam Hussein was a nut. Right? You take little notes. Now, the next time Joanne judges you, you can look at your notes and say, oh, I remember. She's the one who doesn't like it when I call Saddam Hussein a nut. We'll try to trick the negative team into doing that. Right? You can try to use feedback about her. The other thing is, if you lost, you really need to find out why you lost so that you can win next time. The worst possible thing you could do is argue with Joanne. Joanne, what do you mean? You're so out of it. Weren't you listening? I made my position clear. I was so right, and you're so wrong. Right? Now, obviously, you're acting like a jerk. Joanne will go back and change your speaker points and lower them and make you fourth speaker, and then next time she judges you, she'll go, man, I have to judge that jerk again. Don't argue with your judges. Now, the round is over. You leave the room, you collect your materials, you leave the room, and you come back to the central meeting point, and you meet with the coaches, and you go, oh, we won, we lost. Here's what happened. Wow, we had Joanne, she was cool, everything was all right. Even though we lost, we understood why. And you'll want to talk so much about your debate, and we'll say, guess what? The parents for round two are out. Yeah. Let's talk about your next debate. And so you'll have another debate coming right up. Here's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to be standing somewhere at the debate tournament and go, boy, that Joanne, she was so out of it. She was stupid. She voted against me. Because guess who's probably standing behind you? Of course, you decided to do this near the donuts where everyone's gathering, and Joanne hears you yelling that she's stupid, boy. And what do you think the other people at the debate tournament think when you're yelling that the judge was stupid when you lost? They think you're a poor loser. They think you're probably the one who's stupid. So you need to learn to be a gracious winner and a good loser. You can learn so much by losing as well as by winning. So the debate's over. And that's one debate, it takes 90 minutes. But from the time it begins, it will seem like if it's over, there is nothing, well, maybe one or two things. Where time goes so fast as during the debate, it's like over. So that's what a single debate is. Did any of you get a chance to look at the debate on the internet? So did you look at it?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Facts. That's curious.
Yeah, they're brutal, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They're brutal. That's nothing to what they're like in real combat. I had to calm them down. But those are all experience reputation units who, you know, they're set up, they kill with logic. So you have to look out for them. Any questions or comments or ideas? Okay, that's what a debate is. Next time what we'll talk about is the issues that come up in every debate. What is the disadvantage really? What does the affirmative plan really, what is it supposed to do? And that kind of stuff. So we'll see you then.
Next Thursday, please?
Well, by Monday, we'll schedule another meeting.
Monday?
Yeah, that's a Monday meeting, our business meeting. Monday at 6 is our business meeting.
Right.
Every Monday at 6 is our business meeting. And then we schedule our training session based on people's schedules.
Sure.
Okay? Thanks so much. Oh, and the debaters did a marvelous job.
Oh, yeah.
Joanne, you are here. It's an excellent job.